Go to carthage.edu/AI. Support comes from the Kenosha Community Foundation, a public charity dedicated to keeping local resources local by encouraging families to begin tax-advantaged giving, strengthening nonprofits, and improving lives. Visit KenoshaFoundation.org.
Good morning and welcome to the Fab Lab 10 a.m. show right here on WGTD. I'm your host, Scott Nelson, and on today's show, we're discussing Fab Labs in education and problem-based learning. So John, Steve, let's talk some Fab Lab.
Thanks, Scott. It is always great to be here. I hope everyone's doing great out there. I'm John Zern. I am the coordinator for Gateway Industrial Design Fab Lab. And with us today we have, go ahead.
I'm Francesca Kuiper. I am the sophomore high school teacher for the Real School.
And then as always, my co-host.
Hi everyone, this is Steve Whitmore, construction sciences instructor over at Gateway.
27 years Fab Labs have been around. It came out of MIT 98. We talk about this a lot on this program, and in my tenure of a little over 8 years here at Gateway Technical College, I've seen some pretty interesting things. So the original charter of an MIT Fab Lab was, you know, you need to have a certain amount of components on hand for engineering. You need to have five primarily basic pieces of digital equipment that is computer-oriented and CNC, and that's 3D printing, desktop CNC, vinyl cutting, laser engraving, and then we put soldering in there. I have seen these spaces evolve quite a bit, even over the 8 years I've been here. And then after 27 years, there is still a disconnect between a lot of schools and these spaces. You know, they're starting to become a little bit more common, but there's still a great deal of education that doesn't understand it, doesn't utilize it, doesn't really know what it's all about. So I've asked my good friend Francesca Kuiper here today. She is a teacher with Real School. Real School, for those of you unfamiliar with it, partners with Gateway. We do transcripted credits. And we give kids kind of an introduction to engineering-based fields, and I lost my train of thought, so
that's okay. No, one of the things, Francesca, what is Real School? I know it's part of RUSD, but is it a full-blown high school? Is it like some quasi thing? What is Real School?
So Real School is a charter school that allows middle and high school students to attend. They put their name in kind of like a pile, like a pot, and then they get picked and chosen for attending the school.
Right, and does Real School have any focal point that it likes to go after? What does Real stand for?
Racine Engineering Arts and Leadership.
Yep.
That is what it sounds like.
Go Bulldogs, right?
Yes, go Bulldogs.
Yeah, and these partnerships have come about, and it's a way to kind of, now I'm sure most people have heard the concept of STEM and STEM in education. And as a Fab Lab coordinator, I run into a lot of people that just are confused by that whole, what is STEM? What is that? Is it science, technology, engineering, mathematics, manufacturing? Is it? And then people keep sticking more letters in there, right? So now I'll hear STEAM, right? And there's art in there as well. The reality is we've discovered if you use engineering principles and some of these principles that are used by these disciplines, you can put them in almost anything you teach and it'll kind of help. So the idea of using knowledge based on things like empirical method and then evaluating and quantifying what you do in order to improve it. You know, well, what discipline wouldn't use that, right? So Real School, partnering with Gateway, and Francesca, I'll let you talk on that a little bit in a second. We do see a lot of this where schools will partner up with a technical college and you can start introducing some of these subjects and start bringing in what we call project-based and problem-oriented learning. So in other words, the concept is if you perform something, you build something, you do a project, or you have to problem solve with a team, you can learn exponentially more about what you're learning than if you're just memorizing facts and taking a test. And in Real School, when they partnered with Gateway, you know, one of our first experiments was bringing the kids over and introducing them to engineering classes. Now, Francesca, you're a little later on the scene. We did have I think it was 2 years where freshmen came and they literally had a class in the Fab Lab. But tell us about your initial experiences with the students at Emmett Center.
So I took over those freshman classes, as you know.
Yeah.
I taught them fabrication with the assistance of you, as well as the Fab Lab department. They were able to 3D print, laser engrave. They haven't used the CNC router yet, which they're kind of bummed about, but they're they're currently learning a few things. Yeah, they're learning a little bit more than they did originally. the softwares that they used are phenomenal. They've used Tinkercad, Onshape. They are currently in the process of using Fusion, but they're pretty excited for this year. So.
Yeah, that's good software. The whole concept of FabLab in school in general is something that I want to kind of talk about a little bit. And I'll go places, and some places they want to bring it in. They want to use it. They want to connect it with all of their instructors. They want to make it happen. And then some places I go, and it's not on the radar. It's not even something that they think about. And what I see is a disconnect with the idea of education. This is part of a bigger concept in education. Our school system now is one that we kind of brought over with us, right, from England. I don't know what, 600 or 700 years old, and technology has moved so fast. How do we prepare students to be technologically ready to move into careers in engineering, careers in automation, drones, robots, all that fun stuff? So the idea of having a fab lab is starting to move its way not only from just technical colleges, but into school arenas. And I think a lot of schools struggle with, what is a fab lab? How do we use it? What are ways to connect it? And your journey with Real School is one that is kind of about that. It's like, okay, we're going to bring kids here. We're going to stick them in the fab lab. What does that mean? What are they going to do? How are they going to, you know, operate? So what did you think your first year when you brought them in? I mean, give me a nice assessment of the year. Break it down for me.
It was very difficult to get the kids kind of engaged in the lesson until they finally realized that they could build actual 3D models of things.
Right.
Their favorite project was the laser. It was a lightsaber, technically. They enjoyed putting different decals on it, making it their own, and then, of course, when it was completely 3D printed, they tried hitting each other with it. But but it,
see a lot of that.
Yeah, it allowed them to problem solve and to be able to realize that you can pretty much put anything on a 3D printed object. But you do have some restrictions. You can't print in midair, just things like that.
Yeah, 3D printing is not what we think it is. And this is something I'm looking at recently, is right now it's probably only about, you know, 12 to maybe 17% of the product that you see that's been 3D printed. But we've come to discover there's literally nothing you cannot 3D print. If it's material, material is just piled on top of material. And then you use a binder to put it together depending on what it is. So it's not just plastic. And Scott, what do you think about that?
I want to know about 3D printing. And what is some of the coolest stuff that you've 3D printed?
Me or Francesca? Oh,
both of you.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Oh, you're going
to... I'll let you go first.
My favorite 3D printing projects right now are related to our guitar building. And the guitar building is strangely easy to connect with almost all the different engineering divisions and disciplines that we have. So we started out trying to just print a Stratocaster model, and we had a lot of trouble with it. You know, we had to kind of iron out the bugs, and then how is that going to play like a real guitar? So not only was there some figuring out of, you know, what it is and how it's going to print, and then making sure the printer could print what it is, but then there's the whole bit about you're turning it into something that's going to be used as an instrument. So now you get to see how it actually plays. How is it different from carving a guitar out of wood? So you have that kind of comparative mode for it, and I think that was probably one of my favorite things to 3D print.
Are you printing acoustic guitars and electric guitars, or
we're not printing acoustics just yet? And we will be. The guitar we printed was an electric body, so it has infill in it. But if you think about it, it's just a rim when you print. And I did try to print a mandolin as an acoustic instrument. Yeah, but acoustic instruments are exponentially more complex than electric instruments. There's still a lot to an electric instrument. I always thought, oh, it's real easy to make an electric guitar, right? You could pull hunks of garbage out of the, you know, and stick a neck on it, and it's going to play. And a lot of the pickup and the amplifier do work on it. But ideally, a guitar itself isn't. It's an instrument that's designed to enhance vibration. So everything vibration about it is where the science comes in. Okay, how does the wave, when you pluck a string and the string oscillates, how does it move through the body? Does the glue slow it down when it transitions from the headpiece into the side pieces? How does it reflect? How does the top bounce air around and move air around? So there is a lot of really teachable moments when you move into these instruments. Now, I'm also now looking into more 3D printing, and I'm looking at things like ceramic shell printing. So, and Steve can tell you on this one too, one of my obsessions was I wanted to make a guitar out of concrete. So we started with the mold concept. You know, you had a mold and a plug, and we made the concrete, and then we tried to stick the plug in it, and it was a total catastrophe. The concrete does not work like you think it would work. And
one of the advantages, and it gets back to the whole advantage we have of having the real school embedded with us at the SC Johnson IMET Center, where we have the engineering tech wing and a bunch of different resources. Engineering simplicity is all about solving problems. That's what we do. Having the real school there allows that to be brought forth into their education curriculum. And it's not necessarily the end product mm-hmm. that's the key. It's the journey along the way. And that's what you're discovering with real school. It's the journey of hitting those stumbling blocks, hitting those not necessarily failures, but learning opportunities as they misstep or something doesn't go right. It's not really a failure. It's a learning opportunity. You've had tons of those in your short career here.
Yes. I had a lot. Yeah.
So for me, to just bring it full circle, the best printing projects for me are ones where I can go down and show process related to other process and then how it's different. And it can be incredibly versatile. Okay, Francesca, your turn, right? Yeah. What is your favorite print?
I personally haven't printed that many items, but my students absolutely love fidget toys. They somehow, some way, they love connecting them together, making sure that they can fidget with them in my class, and also trying to problem solve. Why is it not working? Why is it failing? Maybe the bed is unleveled, or maybe the filament's not heated enough, or the filament gets stuck or jammed or something like that.
The other part I liked about your classes is you had a number of students that tried to go beyond the baseline.
Yes.
And they try, well, what if we do this, or what if we do that? And that discovery, that age of exploration, is really enhanced with your interaction with the Fab Lab.
Yes, and a lot of my students would constantly come up to me asking me, like, would this work? Will this print? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Try it and see. And if it doesn't, figure it out. Solve the problem kind of thing. And I really liked, like, their minds were always thinking, like, if it was failing, how would they make it not fail?
Hey, sorry if I missed this earlier, but how old are your students?
They are sophomores, so they are sophomores. 15 turning 16.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Awesome. And what's really cool about that age, you're in that age of discovery of trying to solve different things throughout your life at the age of 15. And the progression of logic that you develop using the curriculum that you do in terms of, okay, we're not just about reading a textbook and regurgitating facts. You're actually trying to solve and relate and develop all these different key components that you cover into one exploratory session.
Right. And a lot of it is hands-on. I rarely ever talk. Well, no, sorry. Let me rephrase that. I talk a lot, but it's more or less instructions. But I don't read off slides. At least I try not to. If I do, I limit it to about 20 minutes, maybe 30 at most. The students more or less always do hands-on things on the computer, designing. This was all last year. They did a lot of things in CorelDRAW.
Right.
They did CorelDRAW a lot as well. They worked in Tinkercad, although they're not really fans of it because it's more towards middle school students is Tinkercad. But they do like Onshape, and so far they're learning Fusion. So hopefully that they get the experience with Fusion and know that that's actually a lot better than all the other ones.
Yeah, I know Onshape is cloud-based, and it drives a lot like Fusion 360, which is a closer equivalent to SolidWorks. So for those of you out there who are interested in modeling software, if you're a student, you can access these softwares at no charge, which is really nice. But one of the things that's really cool about what happened between Real School and the Fab Lab is there's kind of a convergence happening. So you have kids, and I love how you're describing that they become interested in actually problem solving and looking at something and making it better. And there's creativity as well. And those are the things that are going to reinforce. Now you add process to it. So they're getting kind of this mechanical process that they can stop and look at. They learn to evaluate it. They learn to figure out what's wrong. They learn to move forward. That's an application they can do to anything as they move on. And so that's a part that's really powerful. The technological savvy is going to make them more workplace ready. So we see, like, all right, let's talk about kids and gaming. Kids that game come into the Fab Lab, they pick up these concepts and drawing software and running the equipment about three times faster than kids that don't. So it's a great educational tool because education needs to be changing just like our technology is changing. And the impact on these kids usually happens at an earlier age than I think we give it credit for. So for me, when I see that spark in the kid's face and they're like, they realize they can make something and they can figure it out. And you don't always solve the problem for them.
Right.
You can lead them in the right direction. And I see this a lot. I do a lot of homeschool workshops. But this is an environment that, you know, while it should be very commonplace, a lot of kids still don't have access to, which is part of the reason why I wanted to bring you here today as well. But seeing the kids come in from the homeschool and realizing, wow, there's this technology that I can use. I can make anything I want to make. I can show them where to find it online. I can show them how to model it. And the other thing is, I mean, now my kids I have coming in are a little bit younger than yours, but I will not talk down to them. I'm going to give them the exact same talk I would give to a group of college students. And you'd be surprised how kids who are like 12 to 14 years old love it. And they just, they like dig into it. It's almost as if, you know, they feel like things have been held back on them. And it's like, I'm not going to dumb down my vocabulary. I'm not going to dumb down their ability to do things. In fact, one of the first things I always say to a group when they come in is, I go, what's the difference between you and me? And after they stumble through a few clumsy answers, I go, there is no difference. You guys are just as smart as me. You just, you know, don't think of it that way.
So one of the questions I have for you is, having watched this progression over the last few years of the way you've expanded and molded your classroom, which has been awesome, what have been some of your challenges that you've ran into?
So I first started teaching last year at Real, so I followed my freshman to sophomore year. But from last year, I want to say probably getting the students to actually open their computers. That is my biggest challenge.
Right.
You mean
physically turn it on?
Physically turn it on and, yeah.
Okay. to become engaged.
Yeah, right. Pretty much to engage them. I tried last year to kind of show them the things that they are going to be making. And then I think that kind of pushed them into the mindset of, holy crap, this can be mine. I can make something similar to this. I could have this at home on my bookshelf or something. So I guess, yeah, engaging the students is probably like the biggest thing last year. But since I followed them to sophomore year, they already kind of know what they're sort of getting into, but it's a different curriculum this year.
So. But it's the whole concept about momentum. Once you get that ball rolling and you see that engagement building,
yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing about having the Fab Lab available, is that you can get that engagement and then you just get that perpetual motion out of the students at that point.
Yeah, it's like a feedback loop. I would say 3D printing is magic. I'm familiar with, you know, I did a lot of CNC at my last job, and I love it. I just enjoy CNC routing. But the real powerful tool when it comes to education and connecting with students is a 3D printer. Everywhere I go, it's like, oh, you got a 3D printer. And still, even though these things have been around since the 80s, now they're finally accessible to the point where, when I get kids coming in, instead of them going, oh, that's so cool, I really love it, they're going, oh, we've got one of those in the living room. And it's 3D printers still just have so much appeal for students that I'm shocked. 9 times out of 10 doing outreach, taking the printers. I'm not going to take the CNC machine or the laser.
But the flip side of that is still true. We have a good segment here in Southeast Wisconsin that don't have access to that stuff mm-hmm. on a routine basis. Mm-hmm. And being able to bring that forward and give them a place where it's a nice environment to actually help them develop their abilities, because a lot of people are like, oh, you're too stupid to do this or stuff like that. Here, we don't have that issue, because as long as you can think about it and then you start building upon it, it's amazing watching them grow in your classrooms.
Yeah, and I personally don't think that it's about smarts. It's kind of just about patience.
Right.
You have to obviously wait for everything to just come together at the end, and it's phenomenal seeing the kids' faces whenever their finished product is like in their hands and they're like, I'm going to take this home and show my parents. And then they're all kind of giddy about it.
Okay, and as always, if you like what you're hearing, please give us some feedback. You can reach out to us. We are at fablab@gtc.edu.
What is that?
Oh, I'm glad you asked again, Steve. That's fablab@gtc.edu. Any information you want, you can find us online. You can check our calendar. As an actual MIT-chartered Fab Lab, we do have open lab to the public. So anyone can kind of come and enjoy it. And it's an environment that we try to make sure people understand they're welcome. We want them to experiment and learn things. We want them to try things that they've never tried. We want you to bring your project to us, and we can help you. We can possibly help you get it made. And if we can't do it, we can connect you with anyone at Gateway who can.
Now, John, where is physically the SC Johnson IMET Center?
That's a really great question, Steve. So we are located at 2320 Renaissance Boulevard in Sturtevant, Wisconsin. It's easy to find us because if you go down that street, we are the building that's got the water tower in the parking lot.
We paved around
it. Sign's kind of small, but the water tower is pretty big.
Exactly. And in terms of Real School, do you guys have a physical presence at the SC Johnson IMET Center?
We do have a huge, gigantic logo on the wall in our, what I call the Real School wing, even though it's not really ours.
Well, you got four classrooms.
We do have four classrooms. The college does utilize it, but we do occupy three of them right now for our college, or for our high school classes, for the freshman and the two sophomore courses that we are teaching as high school teachers.
And then what's really cool about that, you handle the freshmen and sophomores, and then when they become juniors, they have the ability to explore different programs at Gateway.
Yes. They have a CNC, advanced manufacturing, and electrical engineering.
And construction sciences now.
Oh, is that new?
So, yes, starting this fall.
Okay.
So students have the ability to come in to explore civil engineering, architecture, project management, and we offer some really key classes in construction basics, AutoCAD, Revit, building materials and construction methods, a whole host of things to get them into the construction side of it from a design side, from not the labor side, but the other things. Everybody thinks of construction as swinging a hammer, but there's design from the architect and the civil engineer. There's inspection, there's land survey, there's project management. And those are the things that we train up at the SC Johnson IMET Center with our partnership with Real School now.
I did not know that. I will have to tell my students. They were actually kind of bummed that they didn't have like an architecture, construction, design course that they could take as juniors and seniors.
So, they do now.
So now they do. They will be very happy.
Yeah, and I can't over exaggerate when I say there are so many programs at Gateway. And right now, these programs they're amazing. I mean, we have industry finally moving back into the area after how many years of it moving away. We've got, you know, Foxconn, the Microsoft server came in. Haribo has one facility in the U.S., and they built it in our backyard. So the careers are so much different. I frequently talk with parents, and they just have this misperception about going to a university as just obtaining a career or an associate's degree and moving directly into robotics, programming drones, automation. I mean, it's just, and right now, these jobs are definitely on the rise. This is the time for Southeast Wisconsin to shine because there's amazing things happening. And so even if you just drop in when you're going by IMET Center to check it out, come in and look at it. And, of course, Francesca's a part of that. So, Steve?
So I recently heard there was a survey done or investigation done throughout the U.S. of all 616 two-year schools.
Yep.
How did Gateway deal with that?
Well, as you might guess, it came out number one in that survey.
In the entire United States.
In the United States.
That is fantastic. Yeah.
And right now, we're looking at things like, you know, I'm kind of looking into additive associate's degree. And I'd mentioned before, 3D printing is incredibly versatile. And right now we might only be in the teens when it comes to product. And in 5 to 7 years, we're going to be producing probably 70% to 80% product. And a lot of companies are going to start using this. So ceramic printing, there's plastics now that come out that are used for aerospace industry, or they're strong enough that they can be used for vacuum molding. So the simple thing you learn, like Francesca's teaching her students to turn on a Dremel and print with it, these are going to turn into careers. And these are also going to spark the imagination in these students. And they can literally get credits while they're at Gateway, roll into these careers, spend their 20s building their career instead of spending their 20s paying off their student debt. So it's just an amazing time to look into it.
But that's what I love about having the Real School. Even though it's part of RUSD, it is their own little charter entity in there. And it deals with engineering and arts. The two sides of the brain that come together in one program. And like I said, you guys do an amazing job.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's not just me, but
okay, now tell us about your decision. You started out in your first year, and you were kind of doing the tail end of what was originally an introduction to Fab Lab, where the kids kind of came in and they were walked through those five pieces of equipment I mentioned and like shown projects on each one. And then they kind of come up with different ways to use this equipment to formulate projects. So Why did you, how was that for you? And then why did you decide you were going to move on with your students to the next level? And if I understand correctly, now you're doing kind of a business slash entrepreneurship, which is every bit as exciting as Fab Lab to me. I know that might sound nerdy, but it's very cool. So walk us through that.
Starting from where you asked last year, I mean, it was pretty cool being able to show the students how to operate the machinery and having them go through like the pros and cons of how to actually create what they want and use their imagination as well. Mm-hmm. But it was fun watching them. This year, the freshmen had to follow. Well, I followed the freshmen into sophomore year. I could not reteach the fabrication class again to them. They needed to gain an extra credit, so I decided to devise a business entrepreneur plan, kind of like Shark Tank. Mm. These students are going to be starting from scratch on creating a business model. And then throughout the entire year, they're going to incorporate their logo, their a website. They can make prototypes, mock-ups, and then everything is going to be entailed with the pricing, being able to find a location or find a mobile unit if they're doing a van or something. Mm-hmm. And then they are going to present it in front of 5 sharks.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's what's really cool, because it's literally the fusion of education and application at that point.
Right.
You've trained them up in all these skills.
And now I'm going to see the results. Apply it.
Right.
Yes.
And that's what makes it so cool.
Yes.
So once again, John, if somebody's interested in finding out, even though they're not part of real school, about the Fab Lab, where can they go?
You can email us at fablab@gtc.edu.
And what was that again?
If you want to go to Gateway's website, too, it's just gtc.edu with a / and then Fab Lab. You can look at our Fab Lab page.
Hey, John, you said earlier that, you know, stop on by. Can anybody stop by the Fab Lab? Can anyone stop by the SC Johnson IMET Center?
Why, yes, Scott. Yes, they can.
Anybody.
We encourage it.
You don't have to be a student at Gateway. You don't have to be a student anywhere. You can just come by and check it out and see if something interests you.
Within the hours.
Yeah.
Within the hours.
Great. Within the hours that they're open. That's why you got to check the website out.
That's right. Awesome.
And you might get there on a day when we don't have anything going on. We're still painfully understaffed there. And we've expanded exponentially. And there's not enough of us to go around. It's just myself and my coworker. So I'm out doing a lot of outreach at times. We're doing workshops. We're doing college certifications. We're helping people as they come in. Right now I have guitar building workshops, but we're also doing a whole series of just, you know, introduction stuff. Learn how to set up a printer. Learn how to set up the laser engraver. But if the lights are on, come on in. Check us out. Even if there's a class, as long as you're not disruptive, we still encourage you to come in and talk to someone.
Check it out, everybody. It really is one of the coolest places I've been to.
And it's all part of the SC Johnson IMET Center located there in Sturtevant, Wisconsin.
All right. The story I'm about to tell you is true. I know we're going to be winding down here, but I just want everyone to think about this. I once went out to a school. The school shall remain unnamed. I had a couple instructors contact me, and they go, you know, we're thinking about setting up a Fab Lab. We thought we could pick your brain. Come on out and check it out. Yeah, okay. All right. Happy to. Go out. They show me this beautiful space in their library. It's got these big glass panels, and it's this roomed-off section. They go, we thought we could, you know, put it in here, and we'd have, like, this creative thing. I'm like, yeah, that's great. You know, you can, in there, you don't even have to necessarily start with the equipment, right? It can just be a creative space, start running activities. Start simple cut-and-paste stuff with scissors if you have to, you know. Come up with ideas. And they go, well, I know we do have a laser. And I'm like, wait, what? And they go, well, there's a laser down in the tech rooms. And I'm like, oh, whoa, stop. I go, take me down to these tech rooms, right? So they drag me down to the far end of the building in the basement, and I walk in, and they literally had Fab Lab set up down there already. Now, they didn't call it that, but they had 3D printers, they had laser engravers, they had desktop CNC, and there was a disconnect, right? The teachers just weren't talking to each other. They weren't like using their most valuable resource, which is your coworker, and saying, hey, how can I get my kids interested in this? How can you help me with this project? So I want to encourage people to remember that if you're looking at a Fab Lab space, it needs to be the heart of any space and any school. And we talked a bit about where you can go. Racine Public Library, you can go down there and you can have them run 3D prints. They've got lasers. You can experience it. But moving forward into the future in terms of education, it needs to be the hub. It needs to be the main part of the school, not the, you know, crammed in the basement down by all the, you know, the old tech shop stuff. Now, I want to thank our guest, Francesca Kuiper. Francesca, any last thoughts for you before we sign off?
None.
But no, it was really great having you here today.
Thank you.
Yeah, we wish you the best. And people like you are changing education by being in the type of things that change the way kids look at school. So thank you so much for everything you do.
I'm trying.